As Brian has mentioned, we are grateful for all who are here, the visitors that we have. We're thankful that you have set the priority to come and worship the Lord and come and worship the Lord here this morning. I want to begin saying thank you to the guys who spoke for me last week, Ryan and Adam, and haven't gotten a chance to listen to them yet, but I've heard good things about the lessons they presented last week. Appreciate that. I'm going to be talking about the trip that I made to Honduras with a particular theme in mind, and that is perseverance in our lesson this morning. Hope it might be an encouragement to you to continue to persevere yourselves. Just a little bit of data. I sent this out a little bit earlier about the expenses of the trip. We were able to not only pay for my expenses, but also the expenses of Adolfo and Vilma Briso. We support Adolfo on the trip. He was our driver, and Vilma did a lot of the teaching of the young, of the children, and also really appreciate the benevolence individuals gave to me, and the distribution of that was very well received. Talk just a little bit about that as we go through here, not in a lot of detail. But if you have any questions about that at all, please feel free to do so. Honduras is in Central America, as you're probably very well aware. This was kind of a map of our trip. We visited 15 different churches in this week. Some of the days just one, some of the days four churches. We spent a lot of time in this van, and this is basically the group that traveled along with us from your left to right. Florentino Maldonado, who preaches in Comayagua, an American, Wendell Montalvo, who is from New Jersey, along with Jerry Falk. They are both English and Spanish speakers who were able to go. This was Wendell's first trip to Honduras. Also Lydia, the lady in the blue dress there, she is from Lima, Peru. She had association with the church in New Jersey in the past, and she went for the second year now to teach the young people. One of the preacher's wives, Reina, is next to her. My son Todd is there in the gray with the hat on. You can see Vilma and Adolfo there in the center with Oscar, Brother Oscar, behind him. Jerry Falk, who is from New Jersey, and Daniel Menjivar. Ron Drum, who has been going from 2005 every year. He's from Tampa, Florida. Myself, Julio Aguilar, who preaches in San Pedro Sula, and A.J. Price, who is from Athens. So we traveled around together, and we didn't have enough room in the van for all of our luggage, so one of Todd's jobs, since he was the smallest and most agile, was to climb up on top and every day load up all of the... It rained on us just about every day, and so we had to put a tarp to keep our luggage dry. This was the scene in the bus. It was a lot of time spent in the van, but we had opportunities to sing together and to pray together and to have a lot of discussions, some of them very trivial and some of them deeper in nature, but we were able to spend a good amount of time together. I'm not going to talk about all 15 churches and what happened in every one. Some of them we just visited for a very short period of time, but I would like to hit just a couple of examples of perseverance that I was able to witness while there as a way to encourage us all, because we all are in need of perseverance in our lives as Christians. The very first place we met, we arrived on Monday and immediately from the airport drove to a port city in Honduras of Omoa. It is close to the Guatemalan border. And there is a church that meets right next to the house of what used to be the preacher. Unfortunately, the preacher is not there any longer. He got involved with some personal sins, and he abandoned his family. This is his family. His wife, Patricia, in the red dress there, and his five children. One of his children is married and has a child, but he left them. The father is gone, the husband is gone, the means of support is gone, and the preacher is gone. So what do you do as a church? You just keep on meeting together and you just keep on worshiping God. So the oldest son in the white shirt with the sunglasses in his shirt is named Wilson. Wilson said, well, I'll start preaching. And he has been preaching for the last 6 years at this church here in Omaha. He's also an electrician. Also, his brother in the blue shirt, Wilmer, is on this day was the song leader. They continue to be faithful to the Lord. They continue to preach the gospel there in that city of Omaha. I was able to preach. I talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the center of God's power, a sermon that I preached here just a week before. And also, Wendell was also able to preach. He talked about Jesus casting out the demon in Luke chapter 8. Very well received. A very strong group there. And what do you do when you have one of your main members caught up in sin and abandon you? You just have to be faithful, continue to be faithful unto the Lord, and this is what they continue to do. The fifth church we met with was the church in La Ceiba. I wanted to highlight them in particular because we support the man who is the preacher there, Juan Antonio Melendez. And they continue to work and work hard for the cause of Christ there. They are discouraged because of the economic situation in Honduras, because of illegal immigration that takes place, even among the Christians there, which they do not support. They stand against that, going illegally into the country. But nonetheless, it affects them. We were able to give them $700 of the benevolent money that was given. If you notice on the outside here, they were going to build kind of a shelter so that as you went in, you could have a shelter from the rain as you go in. They also don't have any bathrooms. Could you imagine the perseverance necessary to go to church without bathrooms? Well, they've never had bathrooms. So with that $700, hopefully they'll be able to build bathrooms. My son Todd preached and he talked about Habakkuk. And the just shall live by faith. The need for us all to persevere with our faith. And while there, we typically ask, are there any needs? This is a widow of the church there whose husband had died. What do you do when your mate for life is gone? You persevere. You just keep on living the life as a Christian. You keep on doing what's right, and that's exactly what this widow with a smile on her face was continuing to do. Every church that had enough children, and obviously this group in Rio Platino had a lot of children, the ladies took them aside and they taught them a lesson. They passed out some crayons and gave them some pictures to color. And they had a Bible class. This is up on top of a mountain, Rio Platino. They have no electricity, no running water, but a lot of children. And Lydia, there in the white, she's going to teach the class. Vilma, the wife of Adolfo that we support in Rivera Hernandez, they taught the class to the children, very well received. They really enjoy that. A lot of these churches don't have children's classes. They just have their worship period and a general class, which is typically a lecture, for the entire church. So they really enjoy being segmented out and having a class for the kids. We also went to Akaki and she met with the kids there. We went to La Ceiba and she met with the children there. We went to Kimistan and she met with the children there. We went to La Estancia and she met with the children there in Marcala. And also Motetal. These are some of the pictures that they were able to color as an illustration of the lessons that they taught. And as it relates to perseverance, if the church of the Lord is going to continue, we're going to have to teach our kids. Because the fact is, the Lord's church is always one generation from extinction. If our kids don't take up the mantle of the truth and continue to practice the truth in their own life, continue to preach the truth in their own life, the church of the Lord is going to cease to exist. It has not ceased to exist. For 2,000 years it has not ceased to exist. Because we keep teaching our kids about Jesus Christ and not just our kids, but we continue to teach others as well about Jesus Christ. It is up to us for the church to persevere, to continue to teach and to focus in on spiritual matters, not just the things of this earth. And we were able to emphasize that in this trip as well. The 13th church we were able to visit with, and this was last Sunday. We visited with four churches on Sunday, which was a bit of a marathon and a little bit too much to squeeze into one day. But nonetheless, it was enjoyable. El Pedregal was one of the churches that we were able to meet with. And perhaps you remember the story of Pedregal is that about four years ago, they had a church building in kind of a shanty town. None of the people owned the land. They had just put up some tin or some roofing type of structures and made this next to a creek, made this the place where they lived. And because of some help of some brethren, they were able, the church there were able to build a building. Well, the gangs took over Pedregal. And they said, this building is now ours, our headquarters. We now are going to occupy this. And you can, they took all of the songbooks and threw them on the street and the Bibles and all of the all of the chairs. They threw them all out and they said, this is now ours. The next door to the church building was one of the members, a woman. They took her husband outside and executed him in front of the building and said, this is now our territory. Well, what would you do if someone took over your church building and with that type of violence? Well, they continue to meet. There was really not a question about that. So they found one of the Christian ladies has access to this enclosed area, which was very right next to this shanty town area. And she was granted access to go into that. And so that's where the church began to meet. Now, since that time, the government has cleaned a lot of the gangs up. In fact, they arrested the ones that executed this guy. And they actually tore down the whole shanty town because they had no legal right to be there. The shanty town is about 100 yards to the side of where it used to be, which is on the other side of the street here, but this little enclosed area continues and the church continues to meet. They continue to persevere even in the midst of that kind of atmosphere, and they continue to thrive there and continue to grow. Oscar Cano is the preacher at Pedregal, and he continues to preach. They have baptized a couple of men, but for the most part, I don't know that there are any men in this particular assembly with us. It's made up of women. The women are the lion's share of the members of the church there. The lady right in front of me here, when I took the picture in the blue, her name is Mariana. Mariana is the wife of Oscar. She has had problems with diabetes. She has faced cancer. And most recently, she has had a stroke and now walks with a cane. But she is always with a smile on her face and always continues to persevere. She is a woman that has very deep faith in the Lord and continues to do the will of the Lord no matter what she faces. A.J. Price was the one who was able to preach when we were at Pedregal. The last church that we met with was the church in Rivera Hernandez, and if you remember, about 6 years ago, after the Wednesday evening services, they walked home. Incidentally, none of these churches have parking lots. they get there by walking, or they get there by public transportation. A few of the brethren have cars, but there's really no need for parking lots. But there's no parking lot outside. This is the largest group, certainly the largest church building within the country. But anyway, so everybody after services, they walk home and they take public transport. Well, there's a Wednesday evening, and one of the young ladies, 16 years old, Heidi, was walking home, and there were two gangs who got into a scuffle and they began to shoot at each other. And she was caught in the crossfire and she was killed. Adolfo saw it happen, the preacher there, man we support, ran across the road to her and she was already dead. The bullet pierced her heart. She was already dead when he got there. He was not able to revive her. And it caused a tremendous amount of anxiety within the church, a tremendous amount of sorrow because of her death. They still talk about it today when we were there. They were talking about her death and what it meant to her. So what do you do when you face that kind of neighborhood where violence is that rampant, that gangs are fighting with each other and Christians are killed? Well, they just keep meeting. They can continue to serve the Lord. They have not stopped doing that at all. And a side note to that as well, the preacher there, Adolfo, lived about three doors down from the church building. It's a dirt road there. The road is higher than his house, so he constantly had dust and mud as it would rain flow into his house. And so we at Jordan Park gave him some money so that he could close in the bottom floor, fill it in, and actually build a second story on top of that so that he could have better living conditions. Some guy from the United States saw it when he was completing it and said, "I really like that. I have a girlfriend that lives here. When I come down to visit her, I want a place for her to live, and so I want to buy that." And he pulls out his American dollars, and Adolfo says, "Absolutely, I'll sell it to you." And he was able to go about 25 minutes away in on a street that is paved in a tranquil neighborhood with air conditioning in his bedroom. He and Vilma are happy about the transition that took place. And he was extremely, he wanted me to relay his extreme appreciativeness for what we did in helping him to improve his situation. We made it possible for him to sell that house and for him to get in this nicer situation here. He has continued to, I met him in 1998 after Hurricane Mitch devastated that area. Continues to persevere in the Lord. And on the way to the building, I mistakenly asked Adolfo, "Is there anything particular you'd like for me to preach on?" I had something in mind. I had already had prepared. He said, "Yeah, why don't you talk about marriage? We've been dealing with a lot of marital problems." So they got to hear a lesson on the crazy cycle and the energizing cycle, believe it or not, which you were privileged to hear yourselves. A couple of weeks earlier than that. But they are facing that as well. So what do you do when you're in situations like that? You persevere. You keep on doing what's right. You keep on following the Lord in the ways that He gives us opportunities. The eighth church, I want to go backward just a little bit. The eighth church that we met with was a church in the mountains of Honduras in coffee country, the city called Maracala. And we met with the church under difficult circumstances for them. This is Adelie Guzman in 2002. I first met Adelie in 1998. They were a group of Christians meeting in a building that had been built by a Bible institute called the Baxter Institute in the capital city, Tegucigalpa. And this Bible Institute, which is run by Institutional Brethren, a situation or an organization that I don't believe is found in the Word of God, but they sent a preacher to Maracala and said, "This is your guy." In fact, they were the ones that built their building, so they said, "We own your building, so this is your guy." And they said, "We don't want him. He doesn't teach the truth on various issues, like instrumental music and church discipline and so forth. We don't want him." And they said, "Yes, you do. We're sending him. He is your man." So a group of them said, "We're not going to put up with this. We're going to stand for the truth." And they began to meet. Adelie began to meet in his carport next to his house. And that they did for several years. Adelie was a construction worker, a bull of a man, very extremely strong. But he quit that so that he could devote his full time to preaching the gospel. And that he did for many years. In fact, this was a building that they built subsequent to that. The timing here maybe is a little bit off in the pictures. But nonetheless, that's Adelaide Guzman. Well, unfortunately, this is Adelaide's widow, Thelma, Sister Thelma and her daughter and Sister Reina. Adelaide died 4 months ago. So what do you do when the preacher dies, who has been an integral part of the establishment and the maintaining of the strength of this? What do you do? Well, it was a very emotional reunion for us and service for us. But there was a son of Adelaide named Guillermo. And that's him circled there. This was in 2002 as a boy. And this is Guillermo today with his wife and two children. So when we were there in 2019, he was the one that said, I'm going to start preaching. My dad is dead, but the work of the Lord is not. And so he is going to try to take up the mantle and preach the gospel. You know, time passes quickly. Time flies. And where is this church going to be in 17 years? You know, maybe the preacher is going to be dead. I don't know. Maybe a lot of us. But what's going to happen in 19? I don't know. What are we going to do? Is there ever going to be a time where we say, I just quit. I quit. Just too much. I just don't like this life anymore. There's persecution, difficult. I quit. Or are we just going to continue to persevere? I mean, the fact is, our life is full of difficult struggles and trials. We must persevere. In fact, Jerry Falk preached this day when we were in Marcala. And he didn't have an outline for it, but he used three verses. We're just going to look two of the ones that he used when he talked about perseverance. Because the fact is, the Christian experience is going to be marked by perseverance. All of us are going to need perseverance in our lives. Because if you go all the way back to the book of Acts, all the way back to the very beginning, in fact, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We're just going to look at two passages here to draw application. Acts 2 and verse 42. We find that the Jews met on the day of Pentecost to celebrate a Jewish holiday, but they find out that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, evidenced by the fact that he was resurrected from the dead, evidenced by the fact of during his life he did many miracles, evidenced by the fact of he taught the truth while he was on this earth. And many of them recognized that yes, indeed, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told what they needed to do. Repent, change your life, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 3,000 of them did that. Verse 42, Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, Jerry went specifically to this verse because in the Spanish, as you see here, it has the word perseverare aban. I'm not saying that right there. I'm speaking too much English here. Spanish isn't coming out. But anyway, it means persevere. They persevered. It's not in the point in time tense that they persevered, but it's in the indefinite tense, which means they persevered. And in the English, it says, they continued, they use two words in the English to make sure we get the point. Not that they did something, but that they continued to do something. They persevered. This is a mark of Christians all the way back on the first day that it existed. In Acts the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, when the first 3,000 were baptized into Christ. You think about their lives in Acts chapter 2. They had come from Judaism. They had been following the law of Moses. They had been steeped in their traditions that had accumulated over the years. They were there in Jerusalem to follow after the dictates of what God wanted them to do under Moses. And now they were turning to the Messiah, who has a whole new set of teachings they were going to have to learn, a whole new way of life they were going to have to learn, a whole new set of hopes that they could embrace and salvation they could enjoy. Everything was now changing for them, and not everyone around them liked that. There was going to be a tremendous amount of persecution that was brought against them. These brethren had to learn from the beginning that they had to continue to persevere in serving the Lord, specifically in four areas. He says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. If we're going to persevere, if we're going to continue to maintain faith in the Lord, it must be defined. People don't persevere blindly. Persevere in what? There's got to be a cause. There's got to be motivation. There has to be boundaries as to what we're persevering in. There has to be a reason. There has to be direction. And the apostles' doctrine give us that direction. Give us the definition of who we are. And we still have the apostles' doctrine today. We still are to persevere in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Just like they did in the first century, just like they do in Honduras, just like they do in Huntsville, Alabama in 2019. Persevering in the doctrine of the apostles, because that is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The second thing that is mentioned here is that they also continued steadfastly. They persevered in fellowship. Fact is, we're not all alone. It's not me on my own little island trying to persevere in the apostles' doctrine, persevere in the things of Christ all by myself. We have a team. We have a partnership. We have one another that we can draw on for strength, that we can pray for, that we can give words of encouragement, that we can admonish when we get out of line. We have one another to have fellowship with in order to continue to persevere. The third thing that he mentions here in verse 42, in the breaking of bread. I think specifically here he's talking about the Lord's Supper. Every first day of the week, we remember the death of Jesus Christ. Every first day of the week, we remember why we are who we are. And it all centers in the death of Jesus. It all centers in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from sins, has allowed us to be born again into the family of God, is the driving force and motivating factor for our love and appreciation for what God has done for us. It is this death that we are reminded of every week in the Lord's Supper, and really every day as we pray unto God and as we think about who we are as Christians. This centers us. This drives us. In fact, sometimes we look at our suffering and we look at our trials and we say, how hard it is for me to continue to serve the Lord until I look at His death. And how hard it was for Jesus and how much love He had for us and how He persevered to do the will of the Father so that we might be blessed. And suddenly all my trials and difficulties fade into insignificance in contrast with what Jesus Christ. Yes, they persevered in the breaking of bread. And the last thing, the fourth thing that is mentioned here in verse 42, and in prayers. What a great privilege it is for all of us through the difficult times and through the good times of life to be able to talk to God, to be able to pour out our heart unto God, to be able to make request of God for the difficult times that we have, as well as the trials that we're going through. God is a God that loves us. He is a God that will help us. He is a God that will partner with us through the good times and the bad. He is a God that is our Father at all times. And so those prayers is something that we persevere in, something that we continue steadfastly within. Second verse that Jerry turned to on this day was Acts chapter 8. This church that was begun here in Acts chapter 2 continued to flourish for about 3 to 4 years there in Jerusalem. The people had left their homes. Some of them had sold them so that they could stay there in Jerusalem and continue in the apostles' doctrine, continue in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers there in Jerusalem. But something happens that's going to change all of that, that was really going to test their faith. In chapter 8 and verse 1 is on the heels of chapter 7 where Stephen is killed, a Christian is killed for the cause of Christ. It says in chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." This was a huge challenge, a huge time opportunity for the church to show whether or not they had faith in God or whether or not they were going to falter and stop serving the Lord, quit in their service unto the Lord. What would we do in a circumstance like that? You're continuing in a group of maybe 10,000, because they had 5,000 men who were believers, and they continue to grow from that. So if you add to that the women and so forth, you've got a group of 10,000 meeting together for maybe 3 or 4 years altogether, and then you're dispersed. You're scattered. And they're chasing you where you're going. What's going to happen to those Christians? What are they going to do? You know, Jerry made an interesting observation too about Saul. In chapter 7, it says that Saul, that they laid the coats at Saul's feet while they stoned Stephen. And he said, why did they have to take their coats off and lay them at the feet of Saul in order for them to stone Stephen? He said, you know, stoning, when it took place, was not where you take a rock, you know, like this, and you throw it 50 yards at someone, you know, to try to hit them. Now, you took a rock, and you got really close, and you hit them with the rock. You threw the rock at them. You kept throwing the rock at them until they died. And there's a good chance that there's going to be some splattering of blood when you do that. And you don't want to get it on your coat. So you take your coat off and you lay it to the side, because this is going to get messy. Saul was the one who was watching the coats while these other ones were killing Stephen. A violent scene against the Christians. Do you think that didn't reverberate through the church, through those 10,000s hearing about that death of Stephen? And when they began to pursue the Christians, they ran. They went back home. They were scattered. And the Jews, Saul, principal among them, was chasing them, was arresting them, was putting them into prison. What did the Christians do? Verse 4. "Those therefore who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." They didn't quit. They didn't go home and cry and say, "Oh, woe is me, this is so terrible." Well, they probably did cry. It probably was hard for them to do. But they didn't mean they stopped. They continued to persevere. They continued to do what's right. And in fact, we are grateful today that they did so, because every generation has to persevere. Every generation has to teach their neighbor. Every generation has to continue to proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the gospel to continue to grow and to flourish and to be spread throughout the world. This gave them definition, this gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore they persevered in the proclaiming of that gospel of Christ. What a tremendous example they left for us, because that was the beginning of the church, and the church in every generation has difficulties that it has to overcome. the church in Omoa, with the preacher who abandoned them for sin, with the widow in La Ceiba, who has to continue her life without her companion, with the children who are going to have to learn what it means to be a Christian and to have faith and to suffer and to deal with the problems of life, with the dangers of El Pedregal and the difficulty of continuing to serve the Lord with the cultural difficulties and the gangs and the violence that surrounded. The same thing in Rivera Hernandez and in Marcala, with their preacher now who has passed from this life to the next. These are examples of brethren who continue to persevere. And I tell you, we could go around this room here and we could talk about some trials, could we not? And some difficulties that we have been through and we are going through. What are we going to do? Are we going to quit? Are we going to continue to serve the Lord? I was encouraged by my time with the brethren there in Honduras. And I'm encouraged by the time that I'm able to spend with you because of your faith in the Lord. Let's continue to serve Him. If you're not a Christian in the audience, I would encourage you to come to the Lord. Not because it's an easy life, but it's the best life. In this life and in the life to come. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one by, well, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess His name, be baptized, to begin a life of living by faith unto the Lord. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one. If you are one and need to come back to the Lord, we'd encourage you to come back this morning while we stand and sing.